Blog Talk Radio.
Leaving.
Good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. I am so glad and elated to see the switchboard lit up this morning, so I must have an exciting topic to talk about today. And before we start, let's have a few moments of prayer. Gracious Father, help me, Lord, as I live through each day, to really abide in you, that others may see you and come to you as their Lord and Savior. They see the light shining in me, Lord, that they may want to come to Christ. In the blessed name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, and thank God. Well, welcome again to Joy and Peace. If you have any friends that you would like to listen to the program, this is the number you can have them to call in, area code 646-716-4389. That number again is 646-716-4389. And if anyone would like to come on during the broadcast, all you have to do is press 1 on your keypad of your phone, and I'll gladly bring you in. Well, today our topic is God's power changes people. I know you say, huh? Yes, God's power, not our power, but God's power can change people, no matter who they are, where they are, what they're doing. If it's not right, keep praying for them, because God can change them. You know, over in Ephesians, we're going to be coming from Ephesians today, starting at Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 10. We may venture off a little bit more, but today I'm giving us 45 minutes. I'm not only doing 30 today. I've increased my time a little bit more because I want everyone to get in and say a little something about God's power change people. You know, over in Ephesians, Paul described in detail how the gospel of Christ powerful changed the Ephesians. You know, the salvation by grace through faith, saved gospel still. You know, change lives today. Regardless of how deep an individual have become, steeped in sin, the power of God is available to save anyone who will respond in faith to God's offering through what believers experiencing the power of God in salvation, and either receive salvation by grace or through faith in Christ. So today, we're going to touch on a little bit as we go through our scripture and on our topic today, the depths of our sins, taken from chapter 2 of Ephesians 1 through 3, and the power of God's grace, taken from the same chapter, verses 4 and 7, and the place of our work, taken from the same chapter, but verses 8 and 10. So if you have your Bibles with you, just follow along with me. It's in your Bible, these pages, if you have not tore them out. Well, you know, some of the things that we'll be talking about, like Paul prayed for the Ephesians. He contained one overall request that if God graciously answered would result in three wonderful benefits. The apostle's main desire was for God to enlighten the believer inward eyes to know him intimately. Isn't that what we want people to do today? You know, gaining deeper insight, they would first know the implication of God's call in their life. Second, the Ephesians would know and would understand the glorious inheritance awaiting them in heaven, just like with us. Third, they would appreciate God's mighty power. That's why I got God's power change people. And, you know, Paul pointed out that God gave a historic demonstration of his mighty power. He raised Jesus from death and exalted Jesus to his right hand. For above all power, entitled them and forever. However, God was not doing, displaying his power. He also made Christ head over the church and thus head over all believers. You know, Jesus died, but God raised and exalted him. The Ephesians were spiritually dead in their sin. Isn't that what happened today? People that are spiritually dead in their sin. Some want to come out, some don't want to come out of their sin. But it's our job as believers to help them as much as they can, as we can, as a whole. You know, here the Apostle Paul described how the Ephesian believers, sinners who deserve nothing but God's wrath, became living demonstration of God's glorious power, which he exercised because of his grace. Now let's take up a closer look at this, what Paul is talking about. You know, and I mentioned about the depths of our sin. You know, the passion prayed for the Ephesian Paul voice, the desire that they might know what there is, the immeasurable greatness of his power to us who believe. You know, God's mighty demonstration, that power, by raising Jesus from death and by setting the Son of God at the Father's right hand. You know, that's awesome power. When you think about what all God do and can do, you know that's some awesome power. Paul was not just finishing communicating with the Ephesians about God's grace and God's great strength. He pointed out in detail how God's power had transformed the believer's life. You have seen firsthand people that you have talked with, people you have mentored, people that had came to Christ. You have seen the transformation in their life because they believed Jesus. They believed what you was telling them from the Word of God. You wasn't just running that alligator, but you was taking them to the Word of God where they could read that themselves. You know, the apostle described their sinful lifestyle before salvation, then depict how God powerful changed their hearts and lives by his saving grace. They were dead, but God made them alive. They became a new creature in Christ. Only God can do this great work. If anybody would like to come in and comment on anything, feel free to hit 1 on your keypad. And, you know, the apostle painted a depressing, pathetic picture of the Ephesians before they experienced God's transformation and power. I have a caller on the air, have hit 1 on the keypad, and I will bring them in. Well, good morning, caller. Welcome to Joy and Peace.
Good morning, Sister Sadie, and thanks. How are you doing?
I am blessed. How are you in that cold weather?
Well, we've been having a few days where it's been sunshiny but still cold, but not as cold. So I'm enjoying
God.
It. Yesterday I went out without a coat, been praying, Lord, please take this cold weather away from us. Everybody has been complaining about it. This has not been a normal winter.
Okay.
But God is still God. And all we have to do, don't care what it is, pray and ask him for it. But, you know, this is such a wonderful topic. And I was thinking about verse 1 where it says, mm-hmm. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And when I looked at that, I thought about the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Because trespasses is like the sins that we do against one another.
Mm-hmm.
And sins, what we do against God. So when you stand in the sins, you stretch your arms out, that the sins that we do against one another, that's the arms of the cross that's straight across. And what we do against God is the arm that's straight up. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going, he sent Jesus. Jesus died for our sins, and he bore all of our iniquities. And I remember once I was working in Minnesota, and I was praying, and I saw how they whipped Jesus and how his back was just flayed open, that you could see the bone, and I just started weeping and crying, and the Holy Spirit said, where would you be? Why are you crying? You need to be thankful. So I changed my whole attitude. Yeah, what they did to the Lord was really, really bad. They say his body was marred more than any man. But what he did was for us. It was for our sins and our transgressions. And like it says, but God.
But God.
If it wasn't for him, where would we be? So I just thank God for saving me, because I was radically saved. I used to be radical for the devil, but I know God's power is greater than any power of the devil. So we were children of, I was a child of disobedience. So I'm so glad that I'm now a child of obedience. I obey the Lord and try to do it in everything. But sometimes I fall.
Yes, we all do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we can get back up, dust ourselves off,
Amen.
And go back to Jesus. Go back to our Lord Savior, Yahweh, and ask for forgiveness. Because sometimes we do things and we're not aware of it was a sin. Or sometimes we say something, or we go somewhere thinking we're doing good or we're helping. And sometimes he sent us places. He gave us a, I must say, my little thing is, he have given us assignments that we are to fulfill. Some of them assignments we know are hardcore. We in our fine like mind, we don't want to do them assignments. But the assignment sometimes he give us is to change people.
To show
that God have the power from him to us, that we can help them see the light, help them come up out of sin.
Amen. Amen.
Oh.
I remember I was working in a prison, and ministering in prison, and a Muslim walked up to me after the service and said, "Sister Beverly, you know, I'm almost convinced to become a Christian." I said, "Well, you just keep coming." I said, "I'm not going to, you know, beat you down and wail on you about this, because I know how I felt when I was out there in the world. So I'm just going to trust the word of God. The word will go out and we'll perform everything it was set out to do, and that it won't return void. So the word will change you." So I'm glad. And, you know, we never know who's watching us, who's looking at us.
That's right. That's so true.
So I'm really glad that, you know, like you say, some things we don't want to do, the Lord sent us to do. But even if it's just for one person, like I really believe that God sent me here for this one lady. And she was like they called her the bully of the community. And she cussed, oh, Lord Jesus, when she be cursing, it makes your flesh crawl. The cursing would be so bad. And I would always tell her, stop all that cursing. I said, don't you know the stuff that comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart? And that those cursing, they defile you. I said, so stop. I said, and usually when we resort to cursing, that's because we don't have any other words or anything else to say, and we want people to think we are all this. We're bad. But no, you can say, and she was here yesterday. I mean, I only heard two curse words from 500.
All right.
So she told me, that's what she was telling everybody, I'm really trying to change. Ain't that right, Miss Beverly? I said, you got that right. So I'm just really glad that wherever we are and wherever the Lord sends us, there's a purpose behind it. So you pray and ask God, the Lord will lead you, and he certainly will tell you. So,
yes, he will.
You know, Sister Sadie, I really didn't know where the Lord wanted me to move to. So
mm-hmm.
yesterday morning during my prayer time, I was bitten by a spider. And I'm going to say this, and I'm just going to quit talking. I was bitten by a spider a couple of years ago, well, maybe about 3 years ago. And I got that little bump there, and also it was two lines that came from that bump. I guess it was the poison from the spider. And
mm-hmm.
I laid my hands on it, and I pleased the Lord. I said, Lord, if you want me to move back to Texas, you know I'll go wherever you. And we pray this, but sometimes we pray it, and we really don't mean it.
Mm-hmm.
When the rubber hits the road and the Lord have you to go, we don't want to go. And sometimes
mm-hmm.
we don't go. But I have since learned wherever the Lord tells me to go, I'm going. Whatever he tells me to say, I'm saying. So I said, Lord, if you want me to move back to Texas, remove this, because it was an ugly mark to me. Every time I look
mm-hmm.
down at my arm, I'd see those marks. So I say, Lord, if you would remove this this mark, I'll know I have to move back to Texas. Well, I just can faintly see the part of this mark, and it's going away. Slowly,
mm-hmm.
but it's going away.
Mm.
So I know I'm coming back to Texas. Yay!
Right. Well, you know, right there, that shows you where God's power changing you.
That's exactly
you
right.
You're a person, you see what I mean? And I didn't even
yep.
know that. And, you know, with you ministering to that lady, she comes to 500 words to 2 words. That's a
exactly.
change right there.
Yes,
everybody
it is.
In
that's
the neighborhood know her and know what she's doing, what she's saying.
That's
and, you know,
exactly
I
right.
think about God put so many people in our lives in the course of a week, a day. A lot of times we don't know they're there for a reason, for a season, some for a lifetime.
Exactly.
But we have to go before God, just like you went before God and asked God to change that spot on your
mm-hmm.
own, to give you a sign what you were supposed to do. See,
right.
when you're obedient and listen to God and follow God's instruction,
that's
not
right.
Sadie, not your daughter, not somebody else, but you follow God's instruction. He's going to direct you exactly what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed
exactly.
to do. A lot of times, people don't understand it, but you're the one who had the conversation with God. We on this line and listening didn't know nothing about that. So we know that's God's power right there working on you way up there in Pennsylvania.
Right. And
so
you know,
he can do it in Pennsylvania. He can do it anywhere.
He can do it. That's right. I came here to Pennsylvania.
All right. Ooh, gee. Mm. I mean, that is, ooh, I'm the girl. That's a testimony in itself.
Exactly.
And you know, ooh, when you think about it, all unbelievers are spiritually dead.
Yep.
As far as their
exactly.
relationship with God is concerned. All
yes.
unbelievers. You know, they alienate from God. Lost sinners are living dead. They are walking corpses, lifeless
uh-huh.
toward God. Some people believe the human race is basically okay. But, you know, such individuals know humans are not perfect. But they
exactly.
believe that human beings in general are getting better as time passes. You know, however, the biblical views is that apart from Christ, humans are dead regarding their relationship to God.
Mm-hmm.
People who are spiritually dead have no life within themselves. Just as Lazarus had no capacity to raise himself, so those alienating from God cannot bring themselves into spiritual life. When we cannot do for ourselves, God can do because of his great power. And how
that's
many
right.
here you couldn't do it on your own. Here you feel you might have
mm-hmm.
made a mistake, you wasn't sure. But like you said out your own mind, God sent you way up there. And while you are there, you saying, wait a minute, it's supposed to be better climate and this, that, and the other. But he brought a woman into your life for you to change her and turn her around. He don't want her to go to hell for cussing.
That's
being
right.
a bully in the neighborhood. He brought
right.
you there to teach her how to humble herself.
herself. Amen.
My God. Ooh, just like Jesus taught Nicodemus, that spiritual rebirth was necessary for entering God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said to his religious man, I assure you, unless someone is born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. Here, this lady is in the process of being born again. When you leave, she's going to be a changed woman. Everybody in that neighborhood is going to know. And they're going to say, well, we can sure give that to Miss Beverly. While she was here, her light was shining day and night. She might not could have understood why she was here, but we see the evidence of what's going on.
Exactly. You know, Sister Sadie, I came here. I got ahead of God, and I came here, and everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong, and everything was costly. But while I'm here, I said, Lord, let my light shine. While I'm here, I'm the only black in the neighborhood, and now they all speaking and want me to pray. And when we hold up the bright light of Jesus, it draws all men unto it. So I'm so thankful that I am here, even though it is cold and it's been very costly for me. The Lord has provided. So I'm waiting for her to accept Christ. And yesterday she was telling her daughter-in-law, stop all that. I had to smile to myself. I said, look at God. Stop all that
God
cursing.
Know how to do it.
Yes, he
God
does.
God knows how to do it.
It's his power.
Know, and you know, Jesus said that the spirit work is like the wind. Unseen, but powerful. You don't see the wind.
Right.
But you see the evidence of the wind. You see them trees blowing, them leaves blowing, your plant, that's a big, heavy plant, that wind done turned it over. When you look down, you say, how did that plant fall? Heavy as it is. That wind can pick you up and put
that's
you.
Right.
I've seen the wind that done picked up trailers, houses, and put them on other people's land. Now, you know that's the power of God. So if you know God got that kind of power, you know God's power can change people with that kind of power.
No, I'm telling you. Amen.
All we got to do is tap into God. We stop looking at the negative, because a lot of us do it, because sometimes I feel myself and I got to pull myself up. Oh, wait a minute. Don't talk negative. You keep talking positive. Don't look at something, because it look one way. God may be showing you that, but he wants you to step in and turn it another way.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Ooh, Jesus. You know, many people are quite alive to doing good for others, like you are, what you was telling us you was doing, and others that's on the line. They may have charitable disposition, speak kind, support words, and shoulders responsibility positions in the workplace, even at home, even in their neighborhood. But even so, apart from Christ, they lack spiritual life. Being dead, despite the Ephesian spiritual condition before Paul came to their city and proclaimed Jesus, the Savior. Until the Good Shepherd calls us, we respond in faith. We too was in the same condition. You know, Paul continued to describe the Ephesian condition before they trusted Christ. And you know, that's the way I think this lady don't know her, but he put her in your midst. And I'm glad you give that a true thing and a good example for the show today. Because just like Paul did, you know, they was dead in that trespass and that sin. That lady had been dead in her trespass and sin. And here, Jesus is raising her up to where she should be.
Amen.
You know, and when you think of it, you know, people sin because they are sinners. That's why they sin. You know, we as Adam, posterity inherit a nature and an embalmment, including towards sin. As soon as we are capable of moral action, We make the wrong choices. We become transgressors and are under condemnation.
That's right.
You know, we have to realize, you know, even in reading the Ephesians, you know, I could always read Ephesians. The way of life before they believed in Christ, but they daily walked in that manner. We have to walk in what God has given us.
Right.
You know, we quick to say, you know, I wouldn't do that, I wouldn't do that. But what did God say? He's in full control. He might have told Joe Blow, just like you had to get all the way there to say, well, wait a minute. Did I jump the gun? God was telling me to move. The doctors was telling me to move. But did I make the right chance or move? Did he tell me to come to Pennsylvania, go to Milwaukee, or where? You know, I knew this, they say, was a good climate. But once you got there and find out the plants and all that coal mines and stuff, that air started blowing toward where your house is at now. So
exactly.
That wasn't good for you. Before you got there, it was good. But, we, you know, that's with me. I've been checking, dotting my T's, my I. I've been going through every little fine line in my life. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Because I want to stay on track. And, you know, I tell people, I can't tell you what to do. It sound good to you. I wouldn't do that if I was you. But wait a minute, I'm not you because, see, for some people, it looked like it's a short-term thing. I wouldn't do that if I was you because that ain't going to work. That ain't going to what they're speaking, what you call it, I don't know if you would say damnation, but they're speaking something in your life shouldn't be spaced. So, well, wait, let's go in prayer. That's the first thing all of us should do.
Exactly.
Let's go in prayer.
Let's
and at
pray.
The time when you left, I knew some of the circumstances, and you just couldn't touch and agree with everybody. I understood that. And really, you was running for your life, the reason you ended up
Yes,
there.
I was.
And
boy.
So when we go before God, he don't take 10 years to tell us something. He keeps telling, rehearsing. He bring people into our lives and show us. But when we mention that to somebody, oh, that ain't right. You shouldn't do it. No, wait a minute. They don't know what you've been praying about.
That's right.
So when God's power changed the people that's around you and the people in your life, sometimes you got to step back and say, wait a minute. You don't have to go too far back. A step a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right before you start moving forward. And you're going to say, okay, God, I throw hands up. You should.
Yeah.
See, you got down in prayer. You didn't call overseer last night or this morning and tell me what you had went in prayer for and you told God you wanted to do. But when you woke up this morning, God assured you, showing you self-evidence, what he can do. Ain't that the power?
That's right. Amen.
And see, that's what we got to go on. You know, we don't know all the time what's best for us. We think we know. But once God have confirmed what he want us to do, where he want us to go, what he want us to say, then we can go ahead and do it. I have a call coming through. Miss Beverly, would you take over for just a second or two?
Oh, okay, sure.
Okay, thank you.
We're talking about God's power. And whenever we turn our lives over to Christ and we get saved, that's an example of God's power. I know when I got saved, I was radically saved because I was one that didn't mind speaking up. I didn't like the cops. I'd talk bad to them and go file reports on them. And I grew up like in the 60s, and it was tough then as far as, you know, racial tensions and things like that. And when I moved here and I felt that anger and that hatred coming back to me, and I said, Lord, You delivered me from that. I do not want to go back to being that way. And so I said, no way will that spirit come back to me. And I told the Lord, I'm changed in Jesus' name. I forbid that spirit in the name of Jesus to attach itself to me again. I don't care how many people was following me around in the store or looking at me real crazy, because I got to the place where I was saying stuff to them, and I'm looking back at them like they're crazy, looking at them from their heads down to their feet, and my daughter begging, "Mother, please, don't say anything to those people. You're there by yourself. I'm so scared for you." I said, you don't have any reason to be scared for me. I'm saved, and I got the Lord on my side. Listen at me, and I'm acting crazy like that. But, you know, the Lord really delivered me, and I'm so grateful because, when you harbor anger and hatred, that eats you up. I'm talking about trespasses and sins against God, and how we were I was dead back then. But when I got saved, Lord have mercy. You talk about a quickening. The next day, I was out on the street telling people what happened to me. And the church people would tell me, you can't do that. You ain't been saved long enough. I said, hey, doesn't matter about how long I've been saved. I'm being led by the Holy Spirit. And what I can tell them is that God, Jesus is real, how he changed my life. I can tell them that. And I grew up in the church. So I was radically saved, and that shows the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and how the blood changes, cleanses, and makes us whole.
That's right.
I'm just really glad that, and I'm really glad to be here. My whole attitude is changing towards Shamokin, Pennsylvania. It really is.
Okay.
So now nobody wants me to move back to Texas.
What?
It was all over. All my neighbors was over last night, and I was just talking to them about the Lord. You know, I ain't rushing. I'm just showing and loving on them, and just showing Jesus the love of Christ, and that's what's drawing them. So I went to bed
your mission for that. That might be your mission. And until you finish that mission, then God will relocate you. But that might be your mission right now, to bring that neighborhood together, that group of people places you had never heard of. You see, that's what I'm saying. You know, I couldn't tell you. I said, I'm going to miss you. But if that's where God is sending you, and we all the time just like in the Word of God. Just like Jonah, I've used that for instance. Jesus told Jonah to go to Nineveh. What did Jonah do?
He didn't want to go
to Nineveh. He wanted to go. He jumped on the ship to go to Tarshish.
But his
work was in Nineveh.
Look
how much stuff he encountered, not obeying God. And
that's
I got to the point in my life, Miss Beverly. I want to obey what God said. Now, if God didn't tell me to do it, I'm going to tell that person, I'm sorry, baby. Love you dearly. There's something I can do, but God is telling me and sending me in another direction. I can't do that. I would love to.
Exactly.
But I got to obey God.
Amen.
Because when friends and associates walk away from you, who is still there with open arms?
Who's there?
To you?
That's exactly right.
It's Jesus. It's God. It's Yahweh, Yahshua, whatever name we want to call it. He's right there. And this is what Paul was trying to get to the Ephesians, like you doing right now. Didn't know that's what you doing. Didn't know those people had come to your house last night. The neighborhood watch, they all came out. Didn't see the power of God, how you bringing them together, and you the only black one there in the neighborhood. Show you the power. Yeah, girl, I'm about to jump up off this chair now. Showing you the power, how God can change people.
Exactly.
So it was meant for me to bring this broadcast today, because I had no dream that you was going through that you would even had them all over to your house last night.
Oh,
and you
were
doing Bible study right there in your house. You wasn't in a building. You was right there at your house in your living room doing a Bible study with these people on the street.
And you know, it's what my aunt would always say. Well, you may be the only Bible somebody may read.
That's right.
I was little. I used to always wonder, well, what she mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
But since I got saved, I know. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
We have to always have Jesus with us and show his love.
Mm-hmm.
Our love
and let me
ain't enough.
Something too, before we, because we got a few minutes. But let me show you how God did that thing. All the people in the neighborhood, I don't know how long your block is, but they seen how you started changing that woman that was on the street, a bully and a cusser.
Oh,
they have
Lord.
Seen how that woman have been turned around by being associated with you.
Yeah.
You see what I'm
she
saying?
Come. Yeah.
And now
I
all
thank
of
God.
Them coming to you.
Oh, yeah, I'm friends with everybody now.
All
they blowing the horn. Hi, Miss Beverly. Such a
see,
difference.
You had
because
to go there and break the ice. You had to go there and show
yeah.
all about you. You had to show them the power. Oh, my. Oh, girl, he's talking about, you tell me that now. I'm thinking about God's power change people. It was the power God invested in you that's changing that whole community.
And you know what, Sister Sadie? I went to the store yesterday, and I saw a black lady walking out of the store as I was walking in. And she was as surprised as I was. I looked at her. I said, hi, how you doing? And she said the same thing to me, but it was so cold. I said, it's cold here. I went inside, and she went on about her business. But uh-huh. goes to show you how we're shocked. It's not. I was shocked
uh-huh.
to see another black person.
All right.
I mean, it's
you
funny,
uh-huh.
but it's not funny.
Yeah, because you see, when God changed people, when he started opening that door, for you on your
that's
neighborhood
right.
where you had not seen, they would look at you strange at the store, at the filling station, grocery store. But here, God, somebody else, but you wonder, well, I've got to go to the store, so I might as well go ahead. And the Lord intervened where you see somebody else that of your color, and they see somebody of their color, which is both of y'all together. So you see, God changed people, situation and condition. You don't know where, God. You know, when I came to Texas from Denver, the one town I was going to stop in, I didn't want to stop in to see by my grandmother. I give this testimony, then we're going to end up our show. And I didn't want to move to that town, so God moved me to the next town. And when I was ready to go back to Denver, the Lord said, no, your mission ain't finished. And I just know, I said, you got to go to Houston. I said, Houston? The Lord opened the door. My job transferred me to Houston. I started working there to almost quite a few years, retired from it just about it. And I said, okay, well, my time up. That's what I'm saying, the flesh is saying. Not Jesus, the flesh. It's time
uh-huh.
for me to move on. Next thing I know, had ministry in me when I came here. I didn't just start ministry when I came to Texas. I had that in me every place I've been. I've done work ministry, you know, did different things God had me to do. So he started showing me the stuff he wanted me to do. Now I got a big old building, 2,100
uh-huh.
square feet, running over with merchandise and stuff, trying to help the people. People won't come out to get nothing free.
Isn't that something?
I said, well, okay, God, I'm not contradicting what you want me to do. I say, but I'm going to stay here until you do. I say, my mission in Denver was finished. You won't even let me go back and visit friends. So that let me know that mission was I completed what I had to do in Denver. So when you complete what you got to do in Pennsylvania, then he going to relocate you. When my mission is finished here in Houston, he going to relocate me. Or he's going
right.
to start sending me out to different places. If I'm going to stay in Houston, I have that in my spirit. He's going to start sending me out to places.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm moving by him. I'm moving by him, not by stated time there, but I'm moving by him.
Amen.
He's a family member, all family gone, except two grandchildren, two great grandchildren. But everybody else, he done called them home. So that means he's been to do some more work on Sadie.
Amen. Work on us, Lord.
Work on us, because we are work in progress, you know.
Exactly.
You know, God's power changed people. I want to thank everybody that came online today for the broadcast. You may not have said anything, but thank you for staying with us, because it was
Amen.
Something Sister Beverly said or myself that may be able to help you, or you can pass on to someone else. on God's power change people. Today you may go somewhere and you'll be surprised on maybe one word God give you that will change somebody's life. And on my closing, I'm going to tell all of you all that's on the line, it's already done. No matter what you contemplated, what God have told you, start pulling it down from the heaven realm unto the earthly realm, because it's already done. It's
Amen.
Already done. We just
Amen.
Got to tap into the source. And
Amen.
Until next week, I want y'all to be blessed. And you know my little closing cliche I have. If I had the tentacles of an octopus, I would hug each one of you and tell you just how much I love you. And until
Amen.
Next week, thank each one of you all for coming on the line. And if y'all want to come on and say something when I come on when, all you do is hit one on your keypad. Or if you have a broadcast you want me to bring on, just let me know. I would love to do it, love to share. Bring others, tell others about the program. The phone number is area code 646-716-4389. Each one of you all, I've got to run. You know I'm a busy lady, got to run. So until next Wednesday,
Amen.
Y'all be blessed. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.